Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Welcome back to the Halachas of Kaddish. This is Simon Chof Vav, the 26th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And we talk about the mourner's Kaddish, or the orphan's Kaddish, the Kaddish Yasam. In the first section, we looked at the value of saying Kaddish, who says Kaddish, and when to say Kaddish. We're going to look at two more of the more complicated halachas, which are about precedence and application to leading the tefillah. Just a little bit of background. The old practice that we're going to learn about, which is the custom which has been such for many, 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 many centuries and is described in the Shulchan Aruch, is that one Kaddish was said at a time. Only one person would say the Kaddish. And so therefore there might be multiple Kaddishes, but different people would say them, or one person would say it at a time. And therefore, if that's the case, a system of precedence needs to take place, meaning to say that there is a lineup as to who says, when, and who gets priority as to which is which. And now, some people today, this is a comment, some people find prioritization or precedence a distasteful thing. How could it be? Why are you not allowing this person first? And they also have feelings. And so in defense of this, what we're about to learn, even though it's not fully in practice today, because today most shuls have all the people saying Kaddish together, so we don't have to do prioritization or precedence when it comes to Kaddish. But in defense of this practice, because it does have carryovers to the way that we set up who's davening for the Amud, who's leading the Tefillah, that without a hierarchy, without prioritization, there is only machlokes, meaning you need to have rules, or otherwise everybody is going to feel much more entitled and it's going to lead to difficulty. Somebody just mentioned to me that in Hungarian communities, following between Pesach and Shavuos, there were many fights because hundreds of thousands of Jews were massacred in the Holocaust just in that period of time. And so there were so many yard sites around that time. It's difficult. So you need to have rules as to who gets and who doesn't. But another point is it's also distasteful because of our exposure to the Western society around us, which has impacted our community structure, which is that society around us employs what's called a lack of commitment, meaning to say, I know I don't have to plan, I don't have to be committed, I don't have to go to one place, I can go wherever I want, whenever I want. And that's the way that the Western society works. It's a service model. And if I'm not getting the service I want, I just go somewhere else. And that is seeped into the way we view how shul works. So I can go where I want and get what I want when I want it. And if not, I'll complain and stamp my foot and go away. But that's not how Jewish community works. Jewish community means being committed to a specific place. And even if it's somewhat inconvenient sometimes to go there at a specific time or in a certain place. But then because I'm committed to it, like in a relationship with Hashem, in a relationship with a spouse, in a relationship with a community, it's about being there thick and thin, all the way, not just what I get, what I want, how I like it. So it's therefore that the dimension of commitment is important, because commitment means I'm committed to community, and therefore I have certain privileges as being part of that community, which are reflected in my commitment as well. So let's learn some of those halachas. We're going to go through very quickly the halachas of precedence in Kaddish, and then we're going to apply that to how it works for davening for the Amud. Let's go through this at the beginning. Who is the highest precedence or priority for saying the Kaddish? Again, we're going back to the times where only one person would say Kaddish at a time. So that would be an Avel, a person who's an Avelos during the Shiva. That's the highest level. Many times there would not be a minion in a base Avel, and the Avel would come to Shul. So that person would get all the Kaddishes, and no one else would be able to say Kaddish. What if the Shiva was cut short by the Regel? So let's say the Shiva's closed at 3 days. So the Kitzur points out that still for the full 7 days, that person has the priority on all the Kaddishes. What about Mincha on the seventh day? The Avel gets up in the morning of the seventh day. What about Mincha on that day? So the Kitzur points out that it's still considered Shiva for the Kaddish, and he would take all the Kaddishes of that day. Question number four. What if the Avel only heard a few days later and starts their Shiva later on? In that case, they only really have the precedence of Shiva from the 7 days from burial. It's not whenever they hear. They don't have the same level of prioritization. Question number five. What if a person is during Shiva, and in Shul there was also a Yard site or a Shloshim as well? So this depends. If let's say the person in Shiva is a katan, so let's say a 9-year-old boy, Rachmana Litzlan, and then in that case he would come to Shul and you get all the Kaddishim except for one, and that one would go to the Yard site or the Shloshim. So he has precedence. But if there were other Yard sites, let's say there was this young man, in Shul saying Kaddish, but there were lots of yard sites and yard sites. Each of the yard sites would get one, but even if there's none left, let's say there were 8 yard sites, so each of them would get one. There's none left now for this boy in Shiva. Okay, so he'll miss out. If they were all Shloshims, people in their 30 days of mourning, then each of them would get a kaddish, but this Avel Toich Shiva, this young man, would not lose the last kaddish as well. And if the Avel was a gadol, so he is above bar mitzvah, even if there were the yartzats, he would get all the kaddishes except for one, and that last one would be a lottery as to who of the remaining chiyuvim would get it as well. You can see why this is getting complicated. We're going to go through this very fast, but there's lots of different permutations. What if there are two avelim of shiva in the same shul? So if one is a gadol and one is a katan, one is a minor and one is a bav bar mitzvah, then they split the kaddishim down the middle. If there's also a yartzat, so there's two people in shiva, and there is one who has a yartzeit, then they split it down the middle, so they split all the kaddishes alternating, but the katan, the minor, would get one less kaddish, which would go to the yartzeit who's there as well. What if we are past shiva, and we have a shloshim, a 12-monther, that's a person who's in the Yud Beis Chodesh, and a yartzeit, which takes precedence? So the order that the kitz lists is shloshim goes first, then a yartzeit, then the Yud Beis Chodesh, then the 12 months. What happens, which are the most important kaddish that need to be said? So the kaddish drabanon after Yishmol Omer in the morning and the kaddish yosam after Alenu. Those are the two most important kaddishim, which will take the precedence. And what happens if you have a yartzeit and a shloshim? So in this case, interestingly enough, the Kitzur points out that the shloshim would take all of them except for one, which would go to the yartzeit. We're not used to this because we always think a yartzeit is the most important. In halacha, a yartzeit isn't as important as a shloshim, although although our shul gives flexibility to the person who has a yartzeit, but it should be understood that yartzeit is not entitled to everything at all times necessarily. What happens if you have many yartzeits and one shloshim? So each yartzeit would get one, even if there's nothing left for the shloshim. So because in this case, each yartzeit needs to get one kaddish. There needs to be one kaddish for the yartzeit. What happens if there's equal levels of chiyuvim? So you have two shloshims, two yartzeits, two of avelim toich yud beis chodesh, the 12-monthers. What happens if they're of equal level? Says the kitzur, you do a lottery. So let's say it's ma'ariv time, you do a lottery, flip a coin. The one who gets heads will take ma'ariv. The next one will take the kaddish in the morning, and they alternate from there as well. If there's a bigger lottery, then each person who wins one is taken out of the lottery, and the next person who wins gets the next kaddish. Does residence matter? And this, the answer is yes. Residency will trump being a guest, which means that if you're on the same level of chiyuv, two people in shiva, two people in shloshim, two people in yartzeit, two people in Yud Beis Chodesh, then the resident will get all the kaddish and the guest does not get anything. However, if the guest is of a higher level of chiyuv than the resident, then you'll at least get one. So for instance, if you have a guest who's in shloshim, but the resident is in the 12-month of Avelos, then they're considered the same level. If the guest is has a shloshim and the resident has a yartzeit, the resident gets the first two and the guest gets the third kaddish as well. So just the guest would get things, but on a lower level, generally speaking. What is considered resident versus guest? So to be a resident, you need to either live locally or pay tax locally. One or the other creates residency for the halachas of kaddish. What if the person doesn't live here, but is coming to say kaddish for their parents who lived here? In that case, they're still considered a guest because they have residency elsewhere. What if somebody is boarding for a job? So if they're unmarried, they're considered a resident. If they are married and have a spouse living elsewhere, they are considered a guest because their residency is elsewhere. What about adoption or fostering? So for adoption, the adopted child is considered a resident. For fostering, the fostering child is not considered a resident because they have parents elsewhere. What if someone davens in another shul all the time and now comes to another local shul to daven? In that case, they have no status and they are not obligated. They will not get any of the kaddishim that are set aside for the shul, the local shul, because they have another place to daven as well. People get upset with this type of halacha, but this is the rule. Again, it follows the notion of commitment, not just getting what I want where I go. And finally, the last question in this section is, if I have the right to say a kaddish, am I allowed to even give it over to another person? The Kitzur says, absolutely. It's a zechus to give up Kaddish. And there are many people who give up their saying the Kaddish or give up their saying of leading the Amud. And that is a tremendous zechus for the Niftar. Now, a lot of these halachas are not applicable today because we know that the halacha is as the Kitzur points out in Sif Yud Ches over here, is that because this leads to machloikas, as you can imagine, if you just went through all the precedents and prioritization I just mentioned beforehand, and it's even more complicated than I'm saying, this is the kitzur, this is the summary of it, then you can imagine how much machloikas is going to break out. especially when it comes to guests who are coming, and it's complicated, right? So that's been the case. We have the minhag except in Yekes Shuls that everybody says Kaddish together, and therefore this avoids the prioritization issues that we're dealing with. However, it does transpose to leading the davening, because there is only one person who can lead the davening at once, and therefore this does have applications. Let's jump straight in. Who should be leading the tefillah? So the Kitzer points out it needs to be a man who's over 13, and the very least needs to be able to articulate the words clearly. We saw above some of the other characteristics they needed. They need to be meritzah lekahal, they need to be a person who's above reproach. But the general rule about this is be self-aware. If you're not being asked to daven at another time in the year, it probably means to say that it's not necessarily might not be the most meritzah thing, and don't kill the shliach who has to say that tell that to you. Now, in the third section, when does an avil not lead the tefillah? So an avil is not allowed to lead the tefillah on Shabbos or Yom Tov during the avilus, or also on days where Halel and Musaf is recited. So for Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, the avil should not daven for the amud. But what happens if this person was a communal baal tefillah? Is he not allowed to daven for a year? So it says the Kitzur, if this person would daven in the community on Shabbos and Yom Tov regularly, this would be their thing. Then they can carry on doing it during avilus, because you want to make it that they're not doing this on Shabbos because of Avelos, because that's Avelos Befarhes, that's explicit Avelos on Shabbos. But he should not lead Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening as well. Now, the fifth question is, what if there are two Balei Tefillah who are of equal level and of Chiyuv, and they have the equal level of fittingness for the community? They're both Ra'ui Lekahal. So in this case, like Kaddish, they will go for a lottery. So flip a coin as to who it is. You can obviously just come to an agreement and then it's fine as well. There's no need to get nasty about these things. But let's say they just want to flip a coin. The one who wins will get the first part of Shachris till Ashrei, and then the second person gets Ashrei to to the end of davening as well. Note, he does not suggest making a breakaway minion. In fact, in our shul, in the Young Israel Lauren Cedarhurst, Rabbi Teitelbaum went to ask Rav Yashiv this question, because especially on Motzei Shabbos, where people felt very important that they daven on Motzei Shabbos and have their own Kaddish, when they have a Yortzeit coming up, or then the Yovel Avelos, and there were so many people who wanted this, Rav Yashiv said, if people will not relent, then they are allowed to make a separate minion, let's translate what that means. The value is Barava Madras Melech. It is better for everybody to be together, davening together, and saying one united Kaddish, one united Tefillah. That's the best thing for Hashem, and it's the best thing for the Neshamas which have departed. But if people cannot get around that, they cannot come around to that value, so now that we're in a bedieved situation, because people can't let go of that, then it's all right to let people make that minion as well. But that's not a lechatchila. That's not the way things should be. Today, we all want to do what's right. But I think it's important to remember that what's right sometimes isn't what I feel, but it's also sometimes which relates to what ultimately is best for everyone, which is sometimes vitur. And I've seen many, many times where people give up the amud that they really perhaps are entitled to, and that is a tremendous, tremendous zchus, sometimes even more than saying the Kaddish itself, to avoid machlokes and creating Barava Madras Melech. Now, what is the precedent for leading davening today after having looked at some of the Kaddishim? So, just wanted to articulate some of the rules in our shul. Every shul has slightly different rules, but just to give a sense of the rules in our shul, which are really coming off of the rules of Kaddish and as it relates to the Amud, very important. The first thing is members who are Chiyuvim have priority of non-members, no matter what the level of Chiyuv. The idea, why should membership, isn't that snooty, isn't that exclusory? No, that's actually what the Halacha says about residents, non-residents, and people in this shul versus that shul, because there has to be some sort of commitment which is reflected in the fact that a person davens and contributes to a shul. So that's number one. Let's say a member's father, grandfather, brother, or a son who is a chiyuv should be treated as a member would be. Included in this is a chiyuv who is a non-member visiting the shul for relative simcha, that is, and that relative is a member. Members may cede their privilege to a non-member if all chiyuvim present agree to do so. Right. So one person can say, "I will give it to a non-member chiyuv as well." Care should be given that the members who are chiyuvim not be pressurized to see their davening privilege to lead the davening. Number two, a member who is a chiyuv, even if they just became a member as a result of their year of avelos. So let's say somebody says, "I'm going to join this kehila because of avelos." That's fine; they're a member. Number three, if a non-member who's from out of town, who is a chiyuv, should be given a portion of davening to lead. So anyone who lives within walking distance of the shul, but has chosen not to become a member of the shul, does not receive the opportunity, because they've obviously chosen somewhere else to daven. And that's what's reflected in halacha, as we've seen over here. The number four, the following levels of chiyuv in descending order, highest to lowest priority: an avil for a parent during shiva, yardside for a parent, shloshim for a parent. Notice that we flip it in the way that we do it. So yardside is given higher priority in the way that we do it. Although, you know, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's the other way around, but there is makom to lahakel in this case. Then, during the 11 months of mourning for or Kaddish for the parents, and on the last day of Kaddish, care should be given that the person gets the Amid as well. And then we go through other halachas that relate to this when it comes to the shachris and the yard sites. There's a lot of other halachas, but these halachas are actually reflecting a prioritization of giving the Amid to people in the taking into account the level of chiyuv, where they're a member, where they live. These all are reflected directly in the halacha that we've been learning over here, which relates to Kaddish. Finally, and the last and most important halacha of everything we've learned up till now is the last question. What is the most important thing to do for the niftar, for the person who passes away? Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and I'm going to read it because it's so important. Even though it is important that Kaddish and prayer does help the parents who have passed away, nonetheless, these are not the main point. It's more important that the children live a life of uprightness and honesty. That is much more important for the parents. And he goes on to quote a Zohar and Parshas Bechukosai that describes that when the children continue to live a life of Torah and mitzvot, that gives the most tremendous amount of kavod to them. And he says, therefore, and so when a person's elderly, when a person's before their patira, they should specifically tell their children to do certain mitzvot, so a certain staka, the imakaimon, and if therefore the children continue to do that after their death, nechshav yoser min hakadosh, that is much more important. So give some sort of mitzvah will that's important for your children, because by them doing that, that's much more important than even the Kaddish. This is true as well for people whether they only have sons and only have daughters, and perhaps the daughters are not going to be saying Kaddish, to give specific mitzvah opportunities, because that is far more powerful than Kaddish as well. So it's important to know that this is a very, very special part of our lives, Kaddish and leading the davening. At the same time, it cannot come to at the cost of embarrassing or belittling or estranging people. And there are so many other opportunities as well to bring Kaddish into this world as well. With this, we conclude the laws of the Kaddish Yasam. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.